appreciate these testimonies. They've been an encouragement. Second Timothy chapter 2, Paul, this is his more than likely the last book that he wrote. He's giving final instructions to his, probably what we would at least from our perspective see as his dearest son in the faith. He had many men that he'd interacted with, trained and developed. Timothy, it seems as though, was the closest. And that's okay. God gives each of you some dear, dear friends, and that's all right. Demonstrate love in the family, and talking about in our church family. But we all have people that just have something special that God uses them in our life, and they're cherished. And it seems as though Timothy and Paul had that type of relationship. Paul describes the relationship of Timothy to him in the book of Philippians, which we just saw when we were talking about Darcy, about a son in the faith. And that, I think, is a real close union there. And yet, here he is, so father, a spiritual father to Timothy, and he's giving final instructions to Timothy. He's been encouraged with Timothy's walk with the Lord, encouraged him in chapter 1 to not fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of sound mind. He's just in the previous verses here in chapter 2 talked about a couple that have walked away from the Lord, and yet there's also those who have been stayed faithful to the Lord. And so he says in verse 1, "Thou therefore, my son, in light of those folks, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Believers, we ought to and we need to continue to strengthen ourselves in God's grace, knowing what he's given to us, how he's provided salvation and provided sanctification process for us, and I need to stand strong in that, not turn away from the grace of God and the truth that he's given me. So grace and truth really in this passage seem to dovetail, and in light of those that have walked away from the Lord, rejected his truth, that seemed to be believers at least, maybe they were, but they were far from the Lord. In light of the one, Onesiphorus, who refreshed Paul there, that's back in verse 16 of chapter 1, and he's saying, "Now, Timothy, you stay faithful. Be faithful in God's work." And we see that continued in verse 2. "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses..." So I kind of think of Paul's mind wandering through the hours and hours of time, traveling together, walking together from city to city, working together side by side in cities, all the instructions that he's given. "And there were many that heard him," give even instructions directly to Timothy. "So the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who should be able to teach others also." This wonderful, simple, but clear process of how do we pass our faith to the next generation. Faithful men give faithful men God's faithful word, and they give the faithful men God's faithful word, and that's how we have instruction and truth all the way down to today. It's a fairly, what looks like on the page, a fairly simple process, until you start digging into trying to help pass on your faith to another generation. And, of course, the younger generation are all a bunch of rabble-rouser troublemakers, right? And we need to patiently and faithfully help them become faithful servants of the Lord. The word commit thou, so the same commit, what I've taught you, Timothy, you commit to other faithful men. It's a beautiful, picturesque word. It actually at times can be talked about putting food on the table, placing food in front of somebody on the table, preparing them a good meal, and here you are, come sit down with me. Obviously, it's not speaking of food here directly, although spiritual food. It is entrusting or depositing truth into the soul and heart and life of that next faithful person. And that takes time and work. So you consider again the testimony of Paul with Timothy, and as we can see it in Scripture, years. All right, when did Paul see Timothy? Second missionary journey. That's when he runs across it. Timothy is commended to him by the church there in Lystra, and we find out that Paul eventually get to know his mom and grandma, and then Paul takes Timothy and brings him onto his team and says, "Let's serve the Lord together." And for years, and so here we have Paul at the end of his life. He knows that he's soon going to be martyred, and we're not sure the exact timetable, 20, 30 years potentially, where Paul and Timothy have been working together. Timothy's been out helping the churches, probably in the Asian area. We know that Titus was in Crete. Timothy helping churches in the Asian area, keeping their faithfulness to the Lord, working maybe as a pastor, almost in the Apostle Paul's shoes, sometimes helping the churches have the right leaders and so forth, helping them do God's work. How did he learn all that? From Paul, who committed, who set the table before Timothy of all the truth of Scripture and entrusted Timothy with that work. None of us are the repository, is that the right word, of truth, all right? We don't hold all the truth to ourselves, nor should we try. And none of us should think that we have all the answers. Who has all the answers? God does, right? And he's given us instruction in his word to help with that. But we are asked of God, as he's given us truth, to pass it on to the next generation. We've had a unique opportunity arise, not planning for it, aware of it. If you know that Micah is going to be going down to Southland in January. So it's a camp. It's a good camp. Not as good as Camp Joy, of course. But going, and God has directed his steps there. They're going to be using him in some unique ministry down there with his gifting and talent. But so he's had this fall season that he's committed at Maranatha because he's got to travel. He traveled all summer. And there was this, just kind of this vague area. What am I going to do? Well, over the last, actually it's only been about a week or so, hasn't it? Something like that. The Lord has put some pieces of the puzzle together, and we are absolutely thrilled. So you remember in the spring how he did his music internship here for us? Well, now he's going to do life internship at Heritage Baptist Church for the next like 4 or 5 months. Is that okay with you? We're going to lock him in. So this is actually going to be somewhat of an official position. There will be a little bit of remuneration for him, although that has already been provided for. It's not coming out of our budget or anything. It's kind of neat how God has just in his grace worked in people's hearts, and it's all cared for. So he's going to eventually, he'll start living with Pastor Caleb for just a little bit until Darcy gets out of our house. And then when the baby comes, or before the baby comes, then he'll move in with us. And then he's got to put up with me 24/7. I can't wait. So he'll live in the basement of the parsonage, and we'll give him a little space every once in a blue moon. Drew can't wait to have some guy in the home, all right? He tries to play hard with Dory every once in a while, although Dory takes him on pretty well. But anyways, he'll have a big brother again kind of around the house, and he's looking forward to that. But we'll have an opportunity over the next several months to just have him be an intern for us here at Heritage Baptist Church. He'll actually be working. I told him he's going to take my wife's office in the church office, so if he needs office space. I said, hey, I told Pastor Caleb, he's now above you. He's got the closest office, all right? So there you go, up front. And we're gonna just use him in every possible way. Why are we going to do this? Well, 2 Timothy 2 is the main reason why. We want to, because God has given us this unique opportunity, we want to do all that we can to give him all that we have as a church family so that he's prepared and ready to go for his work and ministry that God may give him to him for the rest of his life. And we're excited for that. So we want him to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ and get a sense of what church ministry is like in a local church so that he's at what we would call, in theological terms, he's at a parachurch organization, a parachurch, outside of the local church. Does that mean that they're useless and wasteful? And no, they are serving the churches, but he needs to get a good sense of what goes on around here on a regular basis. I would love for him to catch a heartbeat of how it is to deal with teens. Micah admits that teens aren't his forte. That's okay. I would have admitted that too. To me, that God put me in youth ministry for 20 years was a miracle. And I don't think I'm exaggerating, folks. I did not really believe that that was where my forte was at all. And yet God, on purpose, put me there. And I love teens. I love them to death. And so God, in his goodness to me, had people that helped train me, and we're going to try to pass that along to him as well. He'll get involved in children's ministry. Obviously, we're going to do him in church ministry, or music ministry as well. I said, first thing you got to do, all right, God has gifted you. So we want our own arrangement of a Christmas song for our Christmas concert. And it's got to be done by the end of September so we can practice it. So he's got an assignment already. So we got to get that computer fixed or something. There we go. We're taking care of that. So anyways, all of these things, so that Lord willing, by God's grace, as he heads to Southland in January, he'll have a good, just a good sense and a good taste and a joyful memory of what it's like to serve the Lord in just a normal church setting. I know that we may say that we're not normal, but we're about as normal as they come, all right? And that'll be good and healthy for him. Now, what are some of our goals? What are some of our goals? Let's keep reading the scripture passage because it lays it out for us. So as Timothy has learned Paul's ways, and as Timothy has been committed the truth of God's word into his life to faithfully follow, Paul now sets out some pictures for us. And we've looked at this passage a few times. It is a precious and powerful passage. Verse 3, "Thou therefore," all right, in light of the fact that I've given you truth and I want you to live for it, Timothy, "thou therefore, first of all, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." So Paul is going to paint three different pictures to help the servant of God. So Micah, this is somewhat for you, but for all of us. Three different pictures for all of us on how do we serve the Lord. What is it that I can do for the Lord? Well, the first picture is one of a soldier. And he goes on to explain that soldier picture in verse 4. "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life." Why? "That he may please," that the soldier may please him, the Christian soldier may please him, "who hath chosen him to be a soldier." If I can wrap up the picture of the soldier in this phrase, God has called each of us to be submissive to our commander. That submission requires a single-hearted mind towards doing the commander's will. We want Micah and we want all of us to be soldiers for Christ. That means we cannot be duplicit in our faithfulness to two different masters. We can only have one master, and that's Jesus Christ. And so in our training of Micah, but in all of our involvement, soldier of Christ, be utterly submissive to your commander. Don't entangle yourself with the affairs of this life. And what a beautiful picture that is. A sad picture of a soldier that's all wrapped up in all the things that this life offers, and it keeps him from doing his job. As I've tried to get this schoolwork done, and there's all these good entanglements, I've had to put a number of things aside. Thankfully, the roof is still on the house back there. All right, but as soon as this work is done, believe me, my list is long of all the things that I've unentangled with so that I can get the work done that I think God has called me to do. In much the same way, you and I must keep our focus and attention on doing God's work, God's will. You're a soldier. When does your rest come? Not on weekends. It doesn't come till heaven, folks. There is a reality that in our Christian life, I'm serving until I get to glory. Don't think that you can rest here spiritually. It could be that what can motivate you is the reality as Christ is presented. He loves the world. He died for the world. There are souls that need Christ today. And if I don't tell them who will, that may be a strong motivation for you. Let that motivate your heart to stay single-minded to the work that God's called you to do. Some of you are wired to just do what's right because you know it's right. Well, it's right to obey your commander and keep your focus on him, not distracted by this world, all right? Do right. Obey your commander. Follow him. Some are motivated by love. I just love the Lord and want to please him. Well, please your commander, verse 4, that I may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. What more do you want in your life than the smile of God on your life and what you're doing? I will tell you that is a part of the motivating factor in my own heart, is God smiling on what I'm doing right now. And there are times it arrests my attention and says, "Anderson, Get back to what you're supposed to be doing. Don't be wasting your time. Don't be wasting your life. So, Paul wants Timothy, as he's learning to walk and follow the Lord, to be like a Christian soldier, to be submissive to his commander. Verse 5, the second picture. And if a man also strive for masteries, or he's working uniquely hard towards a single goal, so there, we see some tie-in with that first principle. If a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. This is the athlete. So we have the soldier and the athlete. Athletics has taken this to an idolatrous position, in my opinion. Our athletes live for their sport. So it starts all the way down before sometimes school starts. You'll look and these children are being trained to become an athlete so that they can one day be the millionaire athlete on some professional team, whatever sport it is. That's not probably the exact picture that Paul was thinking of, more than likely thinking of the Olympians of his day, which would stop life for a time and discipline their body, their diet, all those things, which we understand in a lot of our modern sports, in order to be the best they can be, so when they competed, they would win the crown. Believer, God has called each of us to be disciplined in our behavior. That's the principle of an athlete, to be disciplined in our behavior. There are things that can be joyful, that can be fun, that can be okay. They're not bad, but they are a distraction. And they are not what you should be about. And so you discipline those things out of your life and stay focused on the best things. I've told you, one of the things that's always been cool to me, and it's like, yeah, would be to have some kind of cool car, you know, 1960-something. That's you know, with the nice big 454 in it and, you know, rumming, you know. I've got a tenth of a mile driveway here. I could really turn that into a drag strip. Anyway, okay. and I know some of you have some of those things. It's okay. But I realize that that becomes a distraction for me. So I think the Lord in his humor gave me a three-wheel go-kart, golf cart, and there's my hot rod. Watch out. And that's all. All right, that's all. It actually is a good utility cart for us to get a run around here and all those kinds of things. I need to stay disciplined in all my desires. I do say it in a fun way. There are so many things I want to do and learn to do. My list is going into the millennium already. You know, when we get to the millennium, I'm going to have a little bit. It's 1,000 years. I mean, hey, I'm going to have some time for something. We'll get it done then, all right? So, in reality, there's only so much time in a day, isn't there, believer? There's only so much money in the bank. So what are you going to do with it? How are you going to spend yourself? You have to discipline your life. Don't waste it. Don't ruin it. Like an athlete, choose to go one direction and get after it. Do it well. And that means putting aside a lot of other things that aren't wrong, but are a distraction for your walk with the Lord. Now, those applications, I don't want to make direct applications. I mean, I've made a couple direct applications to me, but you need to, in your life, stop and consider, what are the distractions? In our modern day and era, it could be just watching the news 24/7. And why am I wasting all my time on the internet, flipping through the phone, whatever? That may be a point. You know what it is in your own life that's a distraction from where you should be going and what you should be disciplining and training your life. So be like the athlete and discipline your behavior. Your time is short. Your finances are few. Use it for God. Finally, verse number 6. So we have the soldier, and then we have the athlete, and then verse 6. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. This is a wonderful picture. It comes with a wonderful reward. So the husbandman, a vine dresser, this is not, we're not looking at a cattle farmer. a crop farmer at best, and he has to labor for his crop. It is the science that goes in that even farmers today that plant their crops and so forth and work with all different forms. I think it was my wife for a while was seeing some things, I don't know if it was on YouTube or whatever, on flower arranging. And these people that, that grow their own flowers and then create the arrangements that you might see like at Walmart or whatever. It's just fascinating what they do to get their flowers to look beautiful and to come in at the right time and all those kinds of things. Lots of labor that goes in. It's just labor intensive. But as you labor for the Lord, you get to be first partaker. The Old Testament made it really uniquely clear. So as there was an agrarian culture and society in Israel, who got the first fruits? God did, right? But then, after that, who got the rest? The farmer, the agriculture. And in fact, there's even instructions that Moses gives that once there's been one place chosen for the temple site, and the temple is there, and the Israelites travel to the temple site, and he says, it'd be kind of difficult to bring the cow all the way down, all right, to Jerusalem. He says, no, sell the first fruits, all right, so that firstborn calf, sell it. You have money, you convert it to money. He says, when you get to the temple, then buy whatever your soul's desire is, because you're going to offer it to the Lord, but then you get to eat from that offering. That's one of the parts that maybe you forget. As the New Testament saints, they often ate of their own offering, depending on what type of offering it was. Some of it was totally burnt offering. Totally burned, didn't get anything. It was all to the Lord. But many of the offerings, peace offerings, offerings that were given at the feast and so forth, the Israelites were able to eat. And so God says, all right, you know, you've worked, you've given to the Lord, now enjoy. Folks, as we are, here's the principle, all right? So the farmer, be diligent. So we see be submissive, be disciplined, be diligent. Be diligent in your work for the Lord. So you train yourself, but then you just keep at the work. Keep going. And do all you can. A part of that diligence, as we look at Daniel and others, they were skilled in their labor. They became good at what God gave them to do. We should all, in the gifting that God has given us, be diligent to become everything that we can so that we can please the Lord. All right, that's for our ministry and service. So, you know, you're a mechanic, all right, and you can help with, you know, I mean, help people's cars and so forth. You say, well, I'm going to pick on Tim. Right? He's in the back. All right, a diesel mechanic. He was trained to be a diesel mechanic. Well, I'm so glad he learned to work on gas engines too. And now he's working on all kinds of aircraft support materials, whatever it is. And he comes in here and he starts telling me the stories, and my mouth goes, wow, that's amazing, right? All right. Keep growing in your skills. Believer, if I can encourage you, the work of a farmer is never done. You know that. Well, you say, wow, man, that just is like over. No. But take the positive side. Keep developing your skills for the Lord, all the way till he takes you to glory. You know, the concert band that we have. So you have a bunch of adults that used to play, and we brought them back out and working on it again. Keep developing those skills to serve the Lord. Here's another one. Be diligent in learning and continue to learn how to share the gospel. Do all you can to be an expert witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Through what he's given you to do and your skills and gifts, do it. Numerous things. Like the farmer, be diligent in your work. Be skilled. And here's the blessing. You get to be first partakers. Okay, so I'll pick on Eric for a second. What was his testimony tonight? Well, as Eric has strived to faithfully share the gospel and God gives him an opportunity, he's got a joy of heart because he's got an uncle in heaven tonight that we can empathize with, but it's his. Does that make sense to you? That's a unique joy. God gives us, as we serve the Lord, wonderful blessings in this life. Everywhere that I've had the opportunity to work as a pastor, every place is different, every body is unique, and every place comes with some unique spiritual and cheerful blessings of the Lord. When my wife and I, my first wife Deb and I, were in early years of Michigan, we'd had some challenges that we faced, and we needed to just make sure that we pulled apart, Deb and I, and make sure that our relationship was strong and healthy and right as a husband and wife. Well, of all things, one of God's children sent, and dear friend of ours, but sent money to us on a monthly basis and said, "You will," told me. It was one of my former teachers. I'll just tell you, so she was being a teacher again. "David, you will take your wife on a date every week, and here's the money to do it." I was like, whoa. Well, so I got into that wonderful habit routine. It was joyful. It was like, stop sending us so much money. I don't know how to spend all this money. That's a lot of food that we, anyways. And she was always gracious about it. But I got us into the habit and routine. Well, one day, the teacher realized we'd gotten into a right and good habit, and our marriage was strong and good and healthy. So, and she had other needs, and it was done. Well, does that mean my dates stopped? No. Guess what happened next? Well, we had a guy in our church in Michigan. He owned a family restaurant, a family diner. There we go, a diner. He came up to me one day and said, "Pastor Dave, Lord's just kind of challenged my heart. I want you to know you can eat at my restaurant free. Anytime you come in the door, you'll never pay again." Whoa. Well, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. No, this is this. No, I didn't do that because I didn't want to in any way. Yeah, obviously you understand that. You don't want to hurt. You don't want to bite the hand that feeds you. There's the expression. What? And so, in fact, Abby and I had several dates there before God called us here. Cherished place. And he's a dear friend to this day. Loves the Lord. I've run into him once or twice, I think, since we've been here. That's a treasure. That's a blessing of the Lord, as I've just tried to stay diligent and faithful. Now, you say, okay, what are you doing on dates here? Well, you folks pay me well enough that I can take my wife on a date. Culver's is great. You laugh. We love it, all right? And we know the names of many of the folks that work there, and we have our favorite corner, all right? Anyways, see how God cares for his children in special ways. So the diligent farmer is the first partaker of the fruit. Believer, God wants us to keep our focus on him, submit to him, stay disciplined in our life, be diligent in our work. And we will get to see some of those fruits even in this life here. We want that as a church family for Micah Gillespie, right? So it's our job and role that God has given us this wonderful opportunity to minister to him. We're trying to do verse number two, faithful men teach a faithful man God's word so that he will, when he leaves here, he will be submissive to God. He will be disciplined in his Christian walk. And he will be diligent in his work. And he'll get to enjoy all the blessings that God gives him. Won't that be special? 10 years down the road, Micah and his wife have 20 kids. That's a lot of twins. Anyways, okay. And you get a note back from Micah. You do your Christmas card thing. And he thanks you for your part in his life. Well, praise God, that's what's supposed to happen. And then he'll affect the next generation. We'll be off the scenes, many of us, one day. Mike will still be here, by God's grace, if he doesn't return. We'll be all in heaven in 2 years or less, right? There, yeah, that's right. That's great. Steve, we're ready for the Lord to come back tonight. All right, that's great. And that could be. Praise God, that would be great. But if not, if the Lord tarries, wouldn't it be a joy to hear of our spiritual grandkids through Micah, right? We rejoice in that. So may we be found faithful, folks. You be that soldier. You be that athlete. You be that farmer. So that we can help Micah be that soldier, that athlete, that farmer. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your word. It's a blessing and special to us, and we rejoice in these truths. We've looked at them before, and it's healthy for us to look at them again. And so we rejoice in this unique opportunity that you've given us, something that wasn't necessarily on our radar long ago, although we rejoice to have Micah with us. And now you've given us another opportunity, and we are abundantly grateful for us. May each of us as a church family pour our hearts and lives into Micah for these months. We should be doing it to each other all the time. But we know that God has called him on, and so our time with him is brief. And so it seems to point out in our hearts and minds our purposeful ministry to him over these next few months. Help us, Lord, to have good effect on him. May his months, even among us, be precious, something that he'll look back with much joy and delight on in the years ahead. As many of us look back on those who've affected us for the Lord Jesus Christ with great joy and delight in our hearts. Lord, may we be found faithful to you. Lord, help us each, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, to be submissive like a soldier. Lord, help us to be disciplined in our Christian walk like an athlete. Help us to be diligent in our labor like a farmer. And Lord, may we enjoy the first fruits and then the glory of heaven one day. A well done, thou good and faithful servant. Lord, keep our focus and attention in the right place. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I don't think I'll ask for a raise of hands tonight. If God's working your heart and you need some counsel, please come catch me afterwards. But let me just encourage you, folks. Let's make our ministry to one another something that we pray about faithfully and regularly. I know that our attention has been on Micah tonight, and we rejoice in that. But he is not the only one we need to minister to over these next 4 months. We need to minister to one another, the younger generation that's among us. Let's make it a matter of prayer that God would help us to be the soldier, the athlete, the farmer in God's work that we should be, and pass that same thing on to the other. Lord, thank you for your goodness, and so we pray that you would continue to help the work of the ministry to go forward here. We rejoice in all that you're doing. We rejoice in your grace to us. We rejoice in all of the members you've given us and continue to bring in. May we be faithful to serve you until you come. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.